You can't just do whatever. The words stumbled out of you like a drunk leaving a bar looking for a fresh new last call. You are not a man of words, but did your best to offer advice you offered me. You can't just do whatever. And I know what you meant. You meant that whatever I choose to do, I must not be aimless. I must not simply spin this globe and go wherever I stick my finger. Because 71% of the time, I will end up in the ocean. And if I do end up in the ocean, I can't just do whatever. Better learn to swim. You can't just do whatever. The conversation came after you asked me about heaven. You told me that you thought heaven would be specific to each person, and that each person would have their own version of it. Then asked me what mine would be. And I was so scared to tell you. I don't have one. But you nodded your head, as if confirming a suspicion that perhaps school had robbed me of a belief in some stories. You said, you don't have to believe what I believe. It's enough to be good. Be good. I will think about your heaven. Your heaven would be the same haircut forever. It would be a stick, a dog, and some distance. A lawn that always needs mowing. A six-pack of Pilsner short bottles and your real teeth back. Because your dentures could never master that bottle-opening trick that you love to do. The first time you tried it with dentures, I had nightmares for a month because I thought your mouth had fallen off. Your heaven would be Austria before the war. Canada, after you met Grandma. It would be head cheese sandwiches and blood sausage, other deli meats that would ensure you would never ever have to entertain dinner guests, and I would never be in danger of having my lunch stolen. Your heaven would be a stash of raisins and problems you could fix with your hands. I remember you tried to fix everything with your hands. I remember the difficult days. I remember the bandages. They looked like tiny blankets, as if your knuckles had all gone off to bed. Walls that looked like they'd said something that got under your skin and were suddenly made to pay for it. I know you were an angry man. Fingertips like spent shotgun shells, bleeding smoke cocktails of gunpowder and singed plastic. You had what some people would call a temper. But you loved a good joke. Even if it was on you. Something that would crack open the walls of your chest and let the wind tickle your heart just enough to let you know it was still there. You didn't always laugh. You didn't always smile. You did keep a mental ledger of what you called your send flowers list. I remember thinking it was a thank you to those who got you good. But learned the truth after my grandmother added a thin layer of sand to your sandwiches. Because you refused to make your own lunch for work. You told me about it when you picked me up from school that day. You said, Grandma just made the send flowers list. And I asked, because you love her so much? And you said, because I'm gonna kill her. Of course you didn't. Your version of kill meant 2 months before winter, having a seamstress take in each of her coats a few inches. So on the first day she needed one, she fumbled with the sudden tightness, and you stood there laughing and said, Honey, I love you no matter how big you get. She did not laugh, and managed to staple your smile back into a straight face when she told all of your friends at work that she had to move into the spare room because you couldn't stop farting at night. You often asked me, if I had a heaven, what would it be like? And I told you that for such a small word, if too big to wrap my belief around. I would not bend to the hypothetical, but wish now that I would have. Even if it was just to ease your mind and the belief that I could be headed to that other place you believed in. I would tell you now how my heaven is here. It was here, in the gentle warfare of your relationship with Grandma, where volleys were traded back and forth like hockey cards between kids who didn't care what the stats meant. My heaven would have been someone in grade 5, finally willing to trade me their fruit roll-up for my tin of sardines. My hell was wondering why. Why would you give me sardines for lunch? My heaven would make you laugh. Because I get the feeling you didn't get to do that very much. Through my hell, through the night terrors and bloody noses, through the eyes, black, bruised back, sneak attack, knapsack, and winter coat hijacks, you did your best to seal up the cracks in my armor and made my heaven here. I would have loved to have made you laugh more, to make your send flowers list just once. So I offer you now my if. If there is a heaven, mine would have a post office so I could send letters to yours. The first letter would read, "Hell's not so bad. They pretty much let you do whatever." Thank you. There's bugs in my Kleenex. I think it's only fair that, you know, if you're gonna talk about the father figures in your life, you need to talk about the mother figures in your life too. And so I want to do a piece about my grandmother. My grandmother's a pretty remarkable woman. I have a lot of love for her. She's very special to me. It's difficult because she's getting to that age where it seems like every couple months now we're facing a new challenge, whether it's mobility or whatnot. And so it makes it hard for me to leave home. When stairs became a problem, I thought like, oh, well, we'll get you one of those stair things that go up the stairs automatically. You can just sit down in it and, you know, it'll drive you right up. And she's like, fuck that, I saw Gremlins, no way. And I was like, I had to watch Gremlins again. I was like, what are you talking about? And sure enough, there's a grandma that goes floating out the window. Those rascals. In order to sort of, she's at that age too where a lot of her friends are starting to depart. And so it makes me worry a lot leaving her home alone as much as I do being out on the road. But she's always like, go, you have to, you know, you have to share what you do with other people. She's very encouraging in that way, but I felt guilty about it, so I got her a cat to sort of keep her company. And the cat is like, I mean, they're thick as thieves. They love each other and it's all good, but the cat is a dick. I can't stand it. It's just like, because it's like every time I'm out on the road, whenever I come back, it's like, you know, whenever I walk in the door, it's like, oh, it's you. And it's like just very territorial and totally loves my grandmother but hates me. And it's like, I can't like go up and like show my name on all the bills and be like, all of this is me. You're living under my roof. Like, but the cat just doesn't understand. And it drives me crazy because the cat has a real sense of like sort of periphery and understands where my periphery is. And so a lot of the times I'll be sitting down getting ready to write and the cat will just pull up on my periphery and he'll just sit there for hours until I finally look over to acknowledge him. And at that exact moment, he'll turn around and his tail will go straight up and he'll show me his little butthole. And it's like, It looks like a little pencil sharpener. Like I could just stick a pencil in there and be like, you know, and it'd be like, that's what he's like, and he drives me nuts. It's hard too because my grandmother and I, we like a lot of the same things. We like watching documentaries. Discovery Channel is kind of like our bread and butter. We love like nature programs and stuff like that. But it's hard when I go away because I can never tell what she's watching. And I remember one time I went away, and then when I came home, she was like, I guess she'd watched a program about cats. And was, you know, our cat's name is Tig. And she said to me as soon as I came home, she's like, you know, if you come home one day and I've passed away and Tig is eating me, I just want you to know that that's his nature and that's okay. And just don't be angry at him. And I was like, are you out of your mind? If I come home and the cat is eating you, I'm gonna be very upset. So because of that, I've garnered this really sort of weird relationship with my cat. And so I thought I'd do this piece for you. This is called, I Have a Complicated Relationship with My Cat. Go for it. You start. What's that? Oh, do I start? Never mind, I start this one. Okay.